2018, and we have a new theme for this year. And if you were alert enough to look at the front of your bulletin, you'll know what it is. It says the step out and step up. Step out and step up. Achieve your full potential. This past year, we've been talking about going deeper, digging down, deeper commitment, deeper relationship with the Lord, deeper dedication, deeper relationship. And all that is good. But out of that depth, now I believe the Lord is calling us this year. This is going to be a significant year. It's a significant year. Even 18, it has the number 8 in it. And 8 is the number of new beginnings. And just with the 1, the 18, it just emphasizes it. This is a time of new beginning. And I want you to realize that God is calling us this year to step out, but also to step up. It's a step up into something greater. It's a step up into something that's better, beyond what we've ever experienced before. So we're going to be talking about it. Step out. And step up. In your bulletin, you'll find a fill-in sheet that I invite you to fill in as we go forward. Take these thoughts home with you. Here's your first fill-in. Step out of your normal and step up higher. Step out of what is just normal, what's ordinary, what you've always just experienced. That comfort zone that we can be in. And I want you to step not just out, but to step up. Step higher. Step into something that where you've never been before, a greater realm, a greater area of blessing, a greater area of challenge. Step up. Now, we don't necessarily want to because we're in our comfort zone. And we don't want anything that sort of shakes the boat or challenges us. There's something in us we just want to rest. But the scripture says, woe to those who are at ease in Zion. Zion speaks of the church. God doesn't want us just to be at ease, at rest, content. Now, I have to just actually amend that slightly. We can be content, but not satisfied. Be content where you are in the sense that you appreciate it, you enjoy it, you're not restless, but you're not satisfied. You know there's something more, there's something greater. We need to enjoy every stage of our journey and enjoy where you are, but don't stop. If God is moving. He's a God who moves. I grew up in a church. We always talk about the moving of the Spirit and walking with God. If you're going to walk with God, you got to step out. You got to step up where he takes you. Throw off that laziness or the feeling of, I just don't want to be bothered. Listen, if you're a Christian, God's going to bother you. He really is. He's going to bother you. Because he has something more for you. Something greater than where you are right now. He doesn't want us just to settle in where we are. He says, I want you to keep moving forward. He wants you to reach your full potential. I want to reach my full potential. I want you. I mean, I'm talking to you. Say to the person beside you, he's talking about you. I want you to reach your full potential and not come short of it. I want us as a church to experience all that God has for us to reach our full potential. You know, we find in Revelation, he wrote churches. And the Lord said, I like these things about you, but I don't like these things because they were coming short of what they could be. So God knows who we are and where we are and the good things about us as an individual, as a family, as a church. But he wants us to move up. He wants us to move forward, to reach a full potential. You know, I was reading about a place that holds the greatest songs that have ever been written, the greatest novels, the greatest works of art, the greatest accomplishments, and these things the world has never seen. They've never heard this music. They never read about these novels. But this place holds them. You know what the place is? It's the graveyard of all the people who didn't reach their full potential. Now think about that for a moment. The things that could have been done. Things that could have been accomplished. But these people were content. They were at ease. They had settled into a comfort zone. They had never been stretched. They had never been pulled out. They never were challenged. They never took a step into uncertainty. They had always just played it safe. God's not safe. It's safe in God. But he's not safe. He goes places of danger. But because you're with him, you're safe. But he's going to take you into those dangerous places. And we'd be afraid to go there if you don't see the Lord is with you. And so we need to really come to grips with this. You can be more than you think you can be. You can do more than what you think you can do. You can accomplish more than what you could ever imagine. Now, if you don't believe that, the Bible really tells us this. He says that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. I mean, God has tremendous plans for you. He has purposes. He has places to take us. You have a potential you can't even imagine. See, we disqualify ourselves. We say, no, that's not me. That's the other person. I can understand them doing something because I see their talents and abilities, but that's not for me. Listen, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Every person here, I'm talking to you. You can do more than you think you can. You can be more than what you ever could imagine. There's greatness in you because God made you. Here's what it says in Daniel 11:32. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Exploits. Well, not an exploit. I can do a little thing. An exploit sort of stands out. Wow, that was quite an accomplishment. That was powerful. That was an exploit. It says the people that love their God, they're going to do those things because you're capable of it. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell yourself short. You need to step out and step up, step higher than what you could ever imagine you could do. It says in Joel 3:10, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. This is our problem. We see ourselves as weak. Everyone sees themselves as weak. You look at some people who have accomplished things perhaps more than what you think you could do, and you say, man, I wish I had their strength. They feel weak. I have talked to some tremendous leaders who have accomplished a lot of things. And you know what I'm amazed at? They're as insecure as I am. You see me up here and say, oh, well, look, he can talk, he can share, he's not embarrassed. He look what he can do. Listen, I sense weakness. I sense inadequacy. We all have a fear in us. That is just innate. It holds us back. We all see our weaknesses. But the thing is, God sees your strength. He's built into you strength. So he tells us, let the weak say they're strong. You've got to declare what God sees. You've got to declare what you don't see, because you see your weakness, your inabilities. But you need to declare you're strong. There is a potential in you that you can achieve through God beyond your own strength. That's what you got to say. I'm not weak, I'm strong. And notice it prefaces this by saying, I guess the notes aren't up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say they are strong. So he says you've got to change the tools that's in your hand, that which is in your hand. That they were an agricultural, this is talking to Israel. They were an agricultural people, and they used plows to turn the ground, and they had pruning hooks to prune their trees and so forth, and plants. And so he said, listen, you need to beat those or hammer those plowshares into a sword. You need to take the curved hook, and you need to hammer that into a spear, because they were oppressed. They were a conquered people. They had an enemy that ruled over them. And he said, you need to be strong. You need to arise. You can cast off this oppression that's over you. You need to beat your plowshares into swords. You need to beat the pruning hooks into spears. And so I'd say to you, what's in your hand? What are you using for something? Maybe it's a talent. Maybe it's an ability. Maybe it's an aptitude you have, and you're using it in a certain way. And it's okay to use it that way, but the Lord says, I want you to step out. I want you to step up. I want you to see that the talent and ability that you have can be transformed. If you allow the hammering of my spirit in your life, I can take your talent and your ability, hone it, sharpen it, so that you can defeat the enemy. You can be mighty in the kingdom of God. You can put off the power of Satan. You can see the kingdom of God come into your area. Don't just use it and cope and just exist where you are, but be a conqueror, be a soldier, be a warrior where you are. The talents that's in your hands, the things that's in your hand, God says, I can change it. And so don't just say you're weak, say you're strong. You know, when this first spoke to me personally, this whole phrase of step out and step up, it was, you know, it's happened different times in my life, but one of the ones I can really identify was about 17 years ago in 2001. I was invited to go to a conference of leaders in Alberta, Red Deer, Alberta. And it was a conference of national leaders. And I really didn't feel like I fitted there. You know, I had the invitation to go, but, you know, these people were doing great things and accomplishing. And I think, you know, what little can I do? But I went. I was invited. I went to the conference. And different times in that particular conference, there was prophetic words given. And more than once, I heard this word spoken to me, spoken over me. Step up. Step up. There's more for you to do. There's more for you to accomplish. All the things I've just said to you. Prophetic words to step up. And I'm saying, okay, well, I'm pastoring a church. But God is saying, step up. There's something more for you to do. You see, there is a greater potential in you than what you've already experienced. And the Lord was calling it out of me and saying, you are more of a leader than you think you are. You have more talents and abilities, and they're in you. They're innate, but I can sharpen them. I can hone them. Now, one thing in that particular conference, there many of the people there had giftings from the Holy Spirit to give a word of knowledge, to give a word of wisdom, and so forth. And I had never exercised that. You know, every now and then you get an impression, and I would do it in different times, but never on an ongoing basis. But somehow in that moment, and that was just one aspect of stepping up, I remember thinking, okay, and I remember just gingerly stepping out sometimes as I'm praying for someone and just feeling an impression, and then to say that to the person, like, I feel the Lord wants is saying this to you. I was praying for Gladys, and I won't say what it was, but just as I was praying for. I just felt, and normally in the past, I'd just let it go. Just a thought crossed through my mind. But just to speak that to her, and I believe that that was a word of God to her, to encourage her and to strengthen her. And so, but you got to step up into it. Or not saying, oh, I'm weak, oh, that's just me, oh, that's not. But I have learned, just in that one little area of stepping into a gift of the Spirit that I didn't necessarily think I had. But as I stepped into it, it opened and it's broadened and there was a place to put your foot down on. Coming back from one of those conferences, I went year after year up to Red Deer. And I remember coming back one time, and some of you have heard me tell this, and I won't get into the whole details of it, but it just speaks to this. As I was coming back, this gentleman was my seatmate, and he came up, and the first thing he said to me was, the last time I was on a plane, they escorted me off. And he said, they kicked me off for swearing if something. He got upset with someone. And then the next thing he says to me, I wonder when they're going to bring the booze. He said, I'm ready for a drink. And I'm thinking, oh boy, I'm sitting by this person for the next 2 or 3 hours. Everything in the natural would say, this man is closed. He's not interested in any spiritual things. And I remember praying, saying, God, give me the key to his heart. I don't think it's by chance I'm here. And as we were talking, he told me about his wife. Yeah, well, I found he was a professor, taught at a university out there, and his wife had a sickness and so forth, and he was talking. And when he said that, I felt just this little impression. He's very troubled and burdened that his wife, over his wife's sickness. So rather than just letting that go, I just stepped into that. And I said to him, it seems to me that you're very troubled and burdened. I've learned to use exactly what comes to me to say it to the person. I said, I feel you feel troubled and burdened by your wife's sickness. And then he went on to tell me, yes, this was her second bout with cancer. She had had cancer, she had treatment, but now it's come back. And he almost teared up as he was telling me. He said, I don't know whether she's going to make it. And I was able to then just gingerly speak to him. I still remember how I talked. I said, well, you may not believe this or not, but I said, I believe there's a God that answers prayer. And I believe that there's something that's after death. Well, it opened up the whole conversation. We talked and talked. And finally, I told him about a church when he got back to Calgary, because we were flying out of Calgary. And I said, you know, and he followed up with me. So much so that after we got off the plane and we're picking up our luggage and Kay's there, and he comes running over and just wants to thank me again. And I introduced him to Kay at the luggage pickup. And I'm thinking to myself, what a change. You see, when you're weak, say you're strong. Step out into something. And I found that and 1,001 other things out of that conference of stepping up into leadership, stepping up and being a leader in the city among pastors, stepping up and anchor and sensing there are 150 ministers here that I can minister and speak to, that I realized I wasn't just a pastor, I was a pastor to pastors, but I had to step into it. Now, that's just me in this aspect of stepping out and stepping up. But it's not just me. It's for you. Whatever's in your hand, whatever you're experiencing, whatever pruning hook you have, whatever you're putting your hand on a plowshare, you're just carrying out your natural activities. God can transform that into a weapon, a spiritual weapon to transform lives. But you got to be ready and willing. And a heart that says, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and step up into something greater. The story of Israel leaving Egypt and going and possessing their promised land is an allegory to our spiritual journey. You find this in the Bible. It talks about the blood, the lamb that was slain and the blood was put on the doorpost and the lintel. That is a type of Jesus who is the Lamb who took away the sins of the world, and his blood is applied to our lives. And then it speaks very directly. It tells us that they're going through the Red Sea, leaving Egypt, was a type of our water baptism. And so in that, you find the journey of Israel is the, it's typical of our journey. And so I went back and looked at it afresh of how they entered their promised land when they crossed the Jordan. Because I believe the promised land there represents to us our destiny, our full potential, where God wants to take you ultimately. You see, he doesn't want us to get hung up in the wilderness. They came across the Red Sea, but then they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And it says in that portion of scripture that God wasn't well pleased with them because they didn't have faith to enter in. They were afraid to enter into the promised land. They were afraid to step out. They were afraid to step in. They said, we're not able. We can't do this. And they wandered for 40 years, and that generation had to pass away before they actually entered in. And so I went back and just looked at their entering into the promised land to see how it would help us to see how we enter our full potential. So here's the fill-in. We possess our full potential as Israel possessed their promised land. And here's the first point under that. You need to die to your past. It says in Joshua 1 and verse 1, the Lord spoke to Joshua and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Moses was the person that had led them up to that point and got them to where they were. But he had died. And now the Lord says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you arise and you go over this Jordan. What this speaks to me is that we need to leave behind our past. You need to die to your past. Everything in your past that would keep you from going forward. It was good to get you to where you are. It brought you to your present state. But God's got more for you. You can do more. You can accomplish more. And you've got to die to the old thinking, the past that tries to restrict you and hold you back. You can do things today that you couldn't do yesterday. You may have tried to do it yesterday and you failed, but that doesn't mean you can't do it today. You see, your past is not to form you, it just informs you. You just learn from your past, but it doesn't shape your future. Your past doesn't shape your future. Your failures of the past isn't determining your success in the future. But the devil wants to encumber you with it. He wants to load you down. He wants you to think about all your failures, all your past. He gives you all this negative talk. But you need to break out of that. Don't be limited by your past. Don't allow the words that come to your mind, whether it's self-talk or things your parents told you or someone else told you, that you could never do that. You will never amount to anything. I'm not good at that. I'm not talented enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm too old. I'm too young. Don't allow all the negative things from your past hold you from stepping out into a future that God has for you. But the devil wants to keep your eyes focused on your weakness, your past, your embarrassments, your failures. And he wants to say that's how it'll always be. You'll never get beyond that. So stop trying. Just settle down where you are. Just be content here without realizing, no, God has something greater for me. Jeremiah 29:11 says this from the Amplified Version. For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Who's he got them for? For you. Plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now that's what God says about your future. He's got plans for you. And they're good plans. They're going to give you a future and a hope. And they're plans of peace, well-being. Listen, they're not for disaster. The devil says, don't ever go out there. That's going to be disastrous for you. That is going to be a real embarrassment. And I'll tell you why it's going to be embarrassment. And it'll point to something in your past. You need to break out of that and say, I'm not listening to that. I'm not weak. I'm strong. The Lord is with me. And you step out into your future. Now, here's the next point. Your inheritance is larger than you think. Your inheritance is much larger than you think. Here's what God said to Joshua. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, which is the Mediterranean, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. So the Lord's saying, listen, he gave the boundaries, and they were broad, from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates, from the north to the south. He said, this is a big land I'm giving you. Now listen, Israel has never fully occupied the boundaries that's laid down here. The closest they ever got was in the time of King David. That was when the kingdom was the largest and the biggest. They occupied a lot of that land, but they never did fully occupy. You know what that speaks to me? There is much more than what you think you can have. There is a potential you have beyond what you have experienced. There's more for you. You're not limited. God has given you a big area. He's put you down in a broad place. And it's bigger than you think it is. Your potential. You know what it says here? Listen to Psalm 40 and verse 5. Lord my God, you have done amazing things. You have made great plans for us, too many to list. I could talk on and on about them because there are too many to count. God is thinking about all your possibilities. He sees all your talents, your abilities. He sees all your interactions. He sees your family. He sees the people you work with. He sees them all. He sees all those possibilities. He has plans how your interaction would benefit the kingdom of God, how deliverance could come, how freedom can come. It's all there. God can't get you out of his mind. He's thinking about you all the time because he designed you perfect. You. The plans he has for you. They're without number. Sorry, you say, well, no, that's not me. That's someone else. I don't have enough talent. No, you're seeing your weakness. You see, you are designed perfect for God's plan for your life. Absolutely perfect. There's nothing about you that will restrict you reaching your full potential. Now, you might not be able to reach my potential or the person else. We all have a different path and a different potential. But for your potential, God made you perfect. It says in the Psalms, he saw you in your mother's womb. He determined your aspects, the length of your physical features and so forth. He designed it all. So there's no limitation there. It's just that we don't step out into it. We don't keep moving forward. We settle down. We stay in our comfort zone. And we don't step out. We don't step up. We think this is the level. This is as high as I can go. Folks, I wish I could tell you. You have a big, big potential. The inheritance is big. You need to move into something you've never seen yet. Move into it. It's for you. Here's your next fill-in. The extent of your possession is determined by your step. This is what he said to Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. He said, Joshua, here's the dimensions of the land. Now he says, every place you put the sole of your foot down, I'm going to give it to you. You go there, put your foot, I'm going to give that to you. If you go there, I'm going to give that to you. It's all within the dimensions here of the promise. The only limiting factor was going to be Joshua's stepping out. If he never stepped out, he would not possess. But the Lord said, wherever you put your foot down, I'm going to give it to you. What a tremendous promise. What a tremendous promise, folks. You alone limit what God will do through you. Now, I remember when this dawned on me. Two verses came together that really impacted me, and I wrote them down here in your notes. The first was Acts 10:34, and it says, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. In other words, God doesn't choose favorites. God doesn't think more highly of one than another. He loves everyone alike. He's designed us all. We have a plan and purpose. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't choose that person, says you. Actually, I didn't really think too much about you. But this person, I got a real plan for their life. He's no, or I'm going to do it for them, but you know, I won't do it for you because I don't like you. Yeah, he says he's no respecter of persons. Now, here's the other verse that came in that, and that was Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. When I put those two verses together in my mind, it was like this. If God has done it in the past for one person, he can do it for me. Because he's not picking favorites, and he hasn't changed. Now, that opened up a full potential. And it brought me to a decision. And I can still remember where I was. I had just parked the tractor on the farm. I was a teenager. And I had put down the front end loader. And I had just taken the lever of the Alice Chalmer on the front. And I pulled it down and the back blade went down behind me on the tractor. And I was thinking about this. And this is what came to my mind. And it was like a resolution. There's no limitation of how close I can get to God. I can know God, the creator of the universe. And I would be a fool if I didn't put everything towards knowing him. I still remember it as clear as this day. That it just came over me. God's not just choosing some. It's to me. He's the same. I can press into God. He'll work through me as well as he worked through anyone else. There's no limitation. So I'd be very foolish if I didn't pursue that with all my heart. I'm so glad that I made that decision because it helped me for the future to step out and to step up. And I realized it's not me, it's God. It just depends how much I will step out with him and walk with him and follow him. Here's your next fill-in. God will be with you. God will be with you. He says in Joshua 1:5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You're not doing it in your own ability. It doesn't depend on your strength. God says, I'm with you. Now listen, you will never feel closer to the Lord than when you're stepping out into his will. When you're leaving a comfort zone and you're stepping up into something, you'll never feel the Lord's presence any more than then. You'll still sense his presence in your comfort zone. But if he's at the front and he's calling you forward and you're at the comfort zone and you're at the back not wanting to go forward, you're going to feel a distance. And he's calling you. He said, I'm with you, but I want to move you forward. Come on up here. I want you to step out. I want you to step up. You'll never feel the presence of the Lord more when you take a step of faith. Someone needs to hear that this morning. You've been feeling distant from the Lord. And your answer is, he's called you to step into something and you're reluctant. He wants you to step up into it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not depending on your ability. It depends on the Lord. Here's your next fill-in. To step out, you must be courageous. To step out, you must be courageous. Listen to what he says here in Joshua 1 and verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. He says it again. He repeats it twice. Be strong and be courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And then if you read the very last verse of that chapter, he says again to them, this is his finishing comment, be strong and be courageous. See, you're not strong because you're fearful and you're hesitant and you see your weakness. And so the Lord constantly says, you need to be strong. You need to be courageous. Now, I looked up the meaning of the word courage, and this is what I found. One of the meanings was this: the choice to do something that frightens you. The choice to do something that frightens you. We think courage is when someone has no fear. Well, they got courage. They don't have any fear. No, that's not true. Everyone has fear. But courage is that you act in spite of your fear, in spite of being frightened, in spite of saying, hey, if God isn't with me, this is not going to work. You step out in faith. Now, this is exactly what we need to do. Step out and be courageous. How this expressed itself in my life, and it sort of came out of that whole experience on the tractor. And I can't remember when I made this commitment, but I know it's there, and I've thought about it over and over again. And this was the commitment I made. I'll never turn down an opportunity to do something because I'm fearful I can't do it. I'll never turn down an opportunity to do something because I'm unsure whether I can do this or not. And that I've repeated to myself over and over again in situations when I have an opportunity to step out and step up. One of the first times was when I first went to Bible school, and at the end of my first year, there was another young man there. And he had meetings lined up all summer long, week-long meetings at churches in Tennessee and in Mississippi and in other states down through there. And he said to me, would you like to come and travel with my brother and I? Well, I had just come off the farm. I mean, I had not really had any opportunity to speak. I mean, I had led the youth, but I always made sure someone else spoke. I was young when I did that. The pastor helped me, but I had never been in front of a congregation and feeling real comfortable and speaking. But I remember thinking to myself, I'll never turn down an opportunity because I think I can't do it. So I said, okay, I'll go. And then I said to David, what do you want me to do? And he said, I'll pray about it and tell you. He came back later and he said to me, I feel I should speak one night and you speak the next night. And we'll just alternate all summer long. And I'm thinking to myself, David, I don't want to do this. Maybe speak once or twice. I'll carry the luggage. I'll do whatever, but I don't want to be up there. But again, I thought to myself, I'll never turn down an opportunity to do something because I think I can't do it. And so that summer, David spoke one night, I spoke the next night. David spoke probably 20 or 30 messages that summer. I spoke 3. I mean, I spoke every other night, but I just repeated the message. But I learned to preach that summer. I learned to be free to be in front of people that summer. That was an opportunity of growth for me. I feel sorry for some of the first churches I went to. But I had my Canadian accent going for me, and so that helped a little bit. Met my wife that year, the third city we went to. Lord was in all these things. See, if I had, I never even thought about it to this very moment. If I had said, oh, I don't think I'll go, never would have met Kay, never would have had the children I have. I was willing to step out into something that I was fearful. And so over and over it happens. When we started the church here, we had to step out. When we bought our first home, we had to step out. When we bought the first church property here, we had to step out. And I could tell you the stories, and some of you have heard the stories. Miraculous things happened, but I had to step out. I had to say, we're going to do this, when it didn't look like we could possibly do this. But you had to be courageous, had to be strong, had to say, God's with us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, the first time I was invited to go on Huntley Street and be a guest, I thought, I can't do this, because earlier we had gone down and was in the audience, and the person had come through the audience and was interviewing people, and my heart's pounding. I think, don't come to me, don't come to me. And now I'm going to be a guest. I'm thinking, there's no way I can do this. And yet, I thought, I'm not going to turn down this opportunity. So I did. I went on, and David Maines interviewed me in the program. I remember the first time when we were invited, when Franklin Graham came here. Some of you remember this back years ago. I was asked to be the vice chair of the crusade, the festival, as they called them then. And I had to organize all the pastors in the city for the crusade. And again, I said, okay, I'll do it. And then the opening night of the crusade at the auditorium, 13,000 people were packed in there. And they said to me, we want you to receive the offering. I had never spoken to that many people. And yet, part of me said, no, get someone else to do it. But I thought, no, I'm not going to shy away from this opportunity. And so I stepped up into it. You folks, I could tell you story after story after story. On down, going on the radio, having the opportunity to go on the radio. Some of you don't know the background, though. About a year or two before that, I was called by the local radio station, just a secular radio station, to get my comments on a social issue that was happening in the city. And so it was being recorded. It wasn't live. They're recording it. The lady on the phone was interviewing me. I got so nervous. I started to hyperventilate. I was panting. I started to sweat. I got so much, I couldn't talk. And I finally said to the lady that was interviewing me, I said, you know what, can we just stop? I said, I don't know why, but I said, I am so nervous. She thought, it's okay, people get nervous. And so we started over again, but the same thing happened. I was so afraid of what was going to happen when it came on the radio. But the lady was very gracious. She had edited it. So I had a little point of talking. And then she talked what I said the rest of the interview. She said, Pastor Miles said this and went on and on. And I thought, you know, God turned something good out of that, which could have been bad. So you can imagine a couple years later when we have the opportunity to do a radio program, that I'm going to be on the radio 5 days a week. And every part of me said, you can't do this. You can speak in front of people, but you can't, for some reason, you can't be on the radio. But again, I said, I'll never turn down an opportunity to do something because I think I can't do it. And when I first recorded some of those programs, I was nervous. And I had to do it over and over again. To the point, now I'm not nervous. And the radio program has been a blessing for the church and for the community. I am amazed how many people tell me they listen to it on the radio. It's been an encouragement to them. You see, I would never have stepped into that unless I had a willingness. I'm going to step out and step up. Now, that's me. Those are some of the things. What about you? Where is your limitation? Where is your border? Where has the Lord brought you to the edge and said, I want you to step out and step out? Some of you have to step out of an old lifestyle. Some of you need to step out of fear and failure in your past and say, that's not going to form my future. I know it's there. I can't do anything about it, but I'm dead to that. Moses has died. That's dead. I'm going to move into my future. I'm stepping up into something that's beyond me. And God can do wonders. Wonders if you'll step up into it. All right. Let's do the last couple of fill-ins. You must step out into the obstacles to clear the path. Now, as you follow this through, when Israel finally got to the border of their promised land, it was the Jordan River. And it says it was overflowing its banks. Now, listen to what it says here that the Lord told them to do in verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that came down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. Now, I want you to see the difference here. When they crossed the Red Sea, Moses took his staff, reached it out, and the water split, and they crossed on dry ground. Here, the water was still overflowing its banks. And he said, let the priest take my presence, the Ark of the Covenant. And when the soles of their feet dip into the waters of the Jordan, then it will split. You see, they could have sat back and said, you know what, Moses, man, he split the water. And I'm not, you split the water, then I'll step out. I'll believe the Lord that there's a way here. But I'm not stepping into this. In fact, why are we doing it now? Some of them might have said. I mean, this is the wrong time of the year. It's overflowing its banks. I mean, let's wait a few months till it gets down where it's more manageable. See, this is not God's plan. He says, if I'm leading you, if the presence of the Lord is leading you, you have to take a step. And when you step into the obstacle, when you step into that thing that you think holds me back, when you step on it in faith, it goes back like a heap. And you can walk through. I'm talking to someone today. There's been obstacles. You know what you should, but you say, all these obstacles, I can't do this because of this and this and this, and you're waiting for a way to be made. The Lord's saying, step out. Step into that obstacle. See me make a way for you. He can give you a job in a very poor economy. He can sell your home when homes aren't selling. He can give you success in a business endeavor when everything says no, this is not a good time. I tell you, when God is with you and you're following the leading of His Spirit, and as you step into that obstacle, it will split and move back. Here's the final fill-in. And it's just a little simple take on this. Peter stepped out of the boat. The disciples, you know the story, out on the waters, Jesus had stayed behind to pray, sent them to the other side. So Peter and the disciples were in the boat. And as they're in the boat, they look out and they see this person walking on the water. And it's Jesus walking towards them. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And then we pick up the verse here in Matthew 14:29. Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wow. Now, I'm telling you that whole story to say this. We're all in the same boat. Amen. We're all afraid of the water. We have the comfort of the boat. All the disciples were there. Is it possible that any of the disciples could have walked on the water? I kind of think it could have been. I think all 12 could have started toward Jesus on the water. Peter was the one that took the initiative. Lord, if it's you, bid me come. It's Peter who stepped out of the safety of the boat into a realm he was unsure of because he had a heart to step up and into something. He got to walk in the water. Now, he started to sing. The Lord saved him. But man, at the end, he could tell the story. I walked on the water. Other disciples could have said, yeah, but you sang. Yeah, but I walked on the water. Is it by chance that when the keys of the kingdom was given, that Jesus said, Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom? Is it by chance on the day of Pentecost when the church was birthed that the spokesman for all the disciples was Peter as he stepped out and spoke to the crowd? I don't think so. I don't think it was because the Lord was playing favorites. I just think Peter was the one who had shown, I'll step out. I'll do something that I'm not used to doing. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Right now, it just washes over me. The potential that's here. What you could do, what we could do as a church, if all of us got out of the boat. You'd step out. I'm talking about you, not the person beside you. I'm talking about you who you've disqualified yourself. You said, no, that's not for me. No, that's for someone else. I'm too young. I'm too old. There's so many things in your mind. No. You. Step out of the boat. Walk on the miraculous. See what God has for you. Let's stand together this morning. You know, action overcomes fear. Delay strengthens it. The greatest enemy of your full potential is complacency. Just being content where you are. I want us to step out and step up. Do you feel that way this morning? Something sparked in you? Something beyond yourself? Something beyond your ability? You're hearing the call of God speaking to you? And you desire prayer for this? Would you just lift your hand and let me pray for us? Lord, we lift our hands. Lord, I see hands of potential. I see hands of miracles. I see hands of witness. I see hands of miraculous things. Plans that you have for us. A potential that we are now committed to walking into and not delaying. Lord, break us out of our lethargy. Break us out of our laziness. Lord, help us to expect something beyond ourselves. Help us to believe you, Lord. Lord, as we raise our hands, you guide us. You show us our next step. Our steps are all different, but each person knows in this moment what their next step is. And Lord, may they step out into it and fulfill your purpose. In individuals and families and in this church. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.